Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Bonjour, Laurent. That's not the best my French accent can do.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
One more text on the Royals and Bobby Witt, because I do think this is going to be a conversation the rest of the way and on into the offseason, just depending on what happens with shortstop or third base. And again, my concern being that if he's playing third base because they are, well, Mondesi's going to be our shortstop, so let's go ahead and figure out, you know, our third base moving forward. Tex says, and look, I'm open to all different theories. Tex says, third base tree is currently not bearing fruit for the organization, and with Bobby's defensive struggles at shortstop, it makes more sense to move him back to third base and come up with another option at short. That could be Nicky Lopez, it could be Mondesi, it could be Garcia, or somebody that's not even in the organization right now. Now, mind you, with the last part that's not in the organization right now, that could also be third base, to where third base could be somebody that's not in the organization right now, or it could be Haywood from Arkansas that took in the second round? Can't remember. We talked a lot about him when they drafted him. Now I don't remember.
Yeah. I had to delete some baseball to start redownloading more football. Right. So
yes, absolutely.
I've run out of space.
I'm with you on the third base in the organization. My point being, I want to see him play shortstop until they know for a fact he can't. And he has been viewed, unlike MJ Melendez, who was viewed as like, he's a good defensive catcher down in the minors, right? He's a good catcher. But he hasn't been that in the big leagues. So it's like, okay, you probably, and he's blocked by Salvi. So it's like, okay, do you need to find a positional change for him? As opposed to Bobby Witt was viewed as, this guy can freaking pick it. This guy is a great, amazing range, great shortstop. He's a rookie, still getting used to the big leagues. So I do think there's going to be some struggles there. But until it's a, he cannot play shortstop, I'd rather see him at shortstop, because I don't think guys that hit like him at the plate or have the potential of hitting like he can at the plate grow on trees at shortstop. Whereas I do think you find third basemen out there that can do that. And third baseman, you know, you don't have to have the range. You need to be quick hands, obviously, at the hot corner. But when you're that fast and athletic as Bobby Witt, I kind of feel like it's wasted it at third base with his range that wouldn't be used. So just that text. And again, all different options open to, you know, and maybe there's a shortstop that they see out there that they're maybe in the mix of trading for. And they're like, hey, Mike, put him at third base. Okay, because we're going to get this guy in the offseason. We're trading this guy in the minors and this guy in the minors, and we're going to get this guy. We've already talked to him, and he's going to be our shortstop. Who knows? I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. All of those things could be a possibility. And they could still be at least defensively protecting the hamstring and saying, I know offensively and on the base paths, he's going to do what he's going to do. But at least we can do what we can do and protect him in the hamstring. Because he even, you know, Texter pointed out too, he even came in as a pinch runner yesterday. I mean, they brought him in as a pinch runner. If they're protecting the hamstring, you wouldn't bring in Bobby Witt as a pinch runner yesterday. So we'll see. It may not matter in the long run if Witt plays shortstop or third base, if he mashes, you know, and they find somebody else to play shortstop or third base, and this, you know, offense continues to roll. It's just, again, the first point I made was, my worry is that Witt plays third, so it frees up Mondesi to continue to be their shortstop. That's all.
I'd just like to say that from a standpoint of the 100th anniversary of WHB, that the texter brought a great third base tree reference, so.
Who the heck is that?
I haven't been introduced yet, but I felt like I should still butt in.
You had the best Royals take of the day, too.
By God, that's Matt Derrick. What was your take in the break? I was reading texts, and you guys were talking about Bobby Witt in the break. So we brought Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest. Let's get a thoughts on the Royals. Chiefs.
That URL is available, by the way. I just looked.
It's been a consideration.
Chiefs and Royals Digest.com. What was your take? And then we'll get to
you guys were
else.
Prompting me to think about this. I mean, Bobby Witt is an affordable player. He's going to give you great production at third base. At shortstop, you can keep cheap. I mean, if you're going to go out, I mean, you can. It's cheaper to get the same production at a shortstop than it is to get the same production at third base. I mean, third base is just a more expensive position. So if you're going to try and even upgrade that a little bit, yeah, I mean, your point, I mean, hey, if Mondesi's the guy you're thinking about, or there's somebody else in the organization you're thinking about.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it's you got to always consider that cost is probably the
I just think it's interesting.
Decision.
Mondesi goes down in the next 60 games, Bobby Witt shortstop, and then the last eight. Now, that does, again, to the hamstring point, it coincides with when he, you know, missed a few games with the hamstring. So maybe there is the, we can't protect him on the base paths because he's going to be Bobby Witt running, but we can at least defensively protect him, and the quick twitch and springing and going right to left and bending down and then jumping and throwing and all the stress that it might put on a hamstring as opposed to running straight ahead and sliding. So I grant you that could still be the case. 913-912-4810. We bring Matt Derrick in here. Tech says, great football segment. That's right.
That's right.
Matt, it was awesome to see you last night, man.
Yeah,
outside of this setting where we're just talking sports and we get to hang out and just shoot the breeze of anything but sports.
I had a great 5-minute conversation for you and then realized I was talking to Brian Haney. So
you and Michael Garozzo.
And I was thinking on the way in, because once again, listening to the show, always enjoy it, listening, and you guys were talking.
Don't oversell it.
Talking about small sample sizes, and it just made me think, you know what was not a small sample size? Last night. Last night was a large sample. Size.
That's right. But there were a lot of shots taken as well.
That was a crazy night.
People were enjoying themselves as the night went on. I did appreciate the comedian that came up, the comic that was there. And he had a great point. He's like, whose idea was it to put the comic near the end of the show? Because a lot of people had already sort of moved to the back by the bar. They were enjoying themselves. There was loud conversations taking place back there while, you know, presentations were still going on the stage. And the comic was up there. What was his name? Rob Little. He was up there. I thought he was freaking hilarious. But he was up there not really hearing the laughs because those in the front row were either in the back and moved away from the table or maybe not laughing as loud. Or you could hear a little bit of the conversation from the back of the room up there. So he kind of thought he was not bombing, but it was like, oh, hey, no, thank you guys for being a really good audience. This is great. Yeah, no, usually I'm talking to a more enjoyable crowd, but he was freaking hilarious.
That was show prep for him for the future, because he's going to be
great.
all of his, you know, tough audience jokes for the next 6 months will be based off last night.
Dude, I was cracking up. And we saw him after the show, and I'm like, dude, I know that it didn't seem like it when you were up there. I said, but those around us were freaking rolling.
The six people who were listening. And not,
yeah.
See, that was the problem. Last night was a target-rich environment.
Yeah,
I mean, you could not go anywhere without running into somebody cool. And so, you know, you can't just sit there. I mean, this isn't like, you know, you're just, you know, the Chamber of Commerce dinner on a Thursday night or something. This is like every other person is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, well, except for me, everybody was cool.
And me, yeah.
And so, you know, how can you run into somebody and then say, oh, I can't not talk to this person?
Right. Sorry, I got to keep it down. Josh and Jason on stage.
Hold on, Josh is out there. I've been waiting for this all night.
And I did not go out there because, once again, I mean, I know as much about soccer as... Well, I don't even know how to finish that sentence because I don't know that much about soccer. But I heard, because that the Sporting KC panel was like the first one of the night, that then the Sporting KC guys were, you know, kind of out in the lobby and everything, and, you know,
holding
at the
court.
Bar and holding. I mean, yeah, just like, if you were a Sporting KC fan,
well, I will
that
say
was the place to be.
When Chad and I were up there and we were giving out the ESPYs for the high school athletes of the year on the Missouri and Kansas side, both male and female, and also the metro area coach of the year, the Sporting KC guys were there in the front. They were still there at that part. So I don't remember how far or how much into the show it was after they had their panel, but they were still there and a part of it, and that was cool. And I do want to apologize to Zaya Akins, who, this is going to be surprising to a lot of people, but I said Zaya, even though I was told it was Zaya, and as I was talking, and I was like, Zaya Akins, and, you know, she's never lost a race.
I thought you were going to say she lost a race last night. I was like, that's not possible.
No. It was awesome. And I did like the comedian that was like, the only thing I've taken away from tonight is the young lady that's never lost a race. I'm like, yeah, I did my job.
He thought her name was pronounced the wrong way. But
yeah, that's exactly right.
It.
Yeah. I felt so bad because we walk off the stage. She goes, you pronounced my name wrong. And she was kind of sad, and I was like, no, did I not say Zaya? She's like, you said Zaya? I'm like, oh, no. I'm so sorry. You're going to be an Olympian, and you're going to remember that I'm an idiot.
No, she's going to be an Olympian because you're an idiot. She's going to go. She went
home
last night.
I'll be damned if anybody else ever pronounced. I will make Zaya. It'll be a one-name star.
Correct.
You're going to know that by her. You say Serena. You know who it is. You say Tiger, you know what it is. You say Zaya, you know who it is. And that's the greatest track star that's ever lived.
We're going to watch her win 15 gold medals. You're going to say, what an incredible performance by Zia, whatever. And you're going to, and then all of a sudden now we're still back in the, we're still back in the same spot.
She's going to be getting interviewed when they're putting the 18th gold medal on her chest.
That's right.
She's like, and the announcer's like, what made you this special? And she's like, well, it was that one time that somebody called my name wrong.
James Anderson is why I'm here right
there
now.
There you go.
Yes. August. I remember it like it was yesterday. August 11th, we were at the Midland Theater. I was on stage getting an award because that's typically what I've done my entire life.
That's what I do.
And I had never, I've never lost a race. I hold the state record in the 100, the 200, and the 400, and state champion. And this person who was presenting me award didn't even know my name. And from that point forward, I said, that'll never happen again. And here I am being given the 25th gold medal of my track career.
She seems like a strong enough young lady that's gracious. She's going to be gracious about it. She will not hold it against you.
I hope she buries him.
But this is reminding
me. If we
raced,
she would.
I told Joshua this, but I hadn't had a chance to tell you this, that someone was telling me and saying, hey, let me know when Jason Alexander is here at camp.
Yes. It's awesome. So awesome. I hope they do. I hope they do call me Jason Alexander. That's great. James Anderson, Jason Alexander, and Brian Haney.
What a mean thing for Lebo to say.
That was.
Yes. Hey, you know what? I have been called Jason Alexander a lot. In fact, one of the first remotes I ever did where it was my show and I'm going out on a remote, I get there and the sign says, Friday starting at 3:00 from the zone, Jason Alexander will be here. I was like, I wonder how many people thought George Costanza was going to be there.
I thought the most on-brand thing for Jason to do would have been to get his own name wrong.
That's right, yeah. It's all right. It's the zone with Jason Alexander. Dang it. James Alexander. It'd be like Chance McDanielson. Eventually, Chase Daniel goes to Chance McDanielson because of one James Anderson, then Jason Alexander, and then eventually it becomes Jason or James Alexanderson.
Do want to just let you guys know really quick that you're looking at the proud new owner of RoyalsDigest.com. By the end of this segment, it hasn't reached... I did this about 5 or 10 minutes ago. I mean, I did it just as soon as we started talking about it. It should shortly, if you go to RoyalsDigest.com, direct you to my Twitter.
It should direct you to MattDerrick.com.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, hold on. All right, fair. Hold on. I'll keep working on the redirects.
You do that. We're actually going to get into a football conversation today. So, Matt.
Sorry for holding you back.
You're good. Matt.
That wasn't a real apology.
We have eliminated, in the first hour, we have eliminated any talk of no injuries. So it's like, what do you want to see tomorrow? We've eliminated no injuries. We know that. That's number one for everybody, okay? So we don't even need to waste time, except for what I'm doing right now, wasting time and saying that we're not going to talk about the number one thing is that, you know, not seeing any injuries. So, that being said, what are you watching for tomorrow? What do you want to see? What's going to pique your interest?
I want to make sure nobody gets hurt.
That's a great point. Yes,
darn it, I did it.
No. That's number one and two. That's sort of the bigger point. It's number one and number two is no injuries.
You know, and the going back to once again listening in the first hour.
Uh huh.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
That's fine.
I got the sense that you kind of feel like, hey, it's the first preseason game. Outcome doesn't matter.
The outcome does not matter to me. Like win or loss, it does not. I don't care about the Ravens and their 22 straight preseason game wins with another win
bizarre,
last night against the Titans.
That's bizarre.
Yes, it doesn't move me either way.
It matters to me a little bit.
Okay,
and here's why: because no, your starters aren't going to play long. It wouldn't even surprise me if, just like last year, Mahomes gets one series and is out. Henny gets a series with the starters. Reed will probably stay pretty close to the plan as far as each quarterback getting a quarter. But to me, it matters because that second team in particular, it's going to probably play a lot. I mean, it might even play more than a quarter. It's going to have nine rookies on that team. Mm-hmm. It's going to have the bulk of your backups. It's going to have the, you know, a lot of guys that you're hoping not one, not only are part of the future, but really part of this year and playing integral roles. And some guys that are playing on twos right now, they're probably going to be ones not very long. And they're going up against the Bears, mm-hmm. an organization that's a mess right yeah. now. A first-year coach, I mean, they got a lot of drama going on. They got some problems. If your twos don't go out there and your backups don't go out there and dominate in a game like this, I'm going to have some questions. But, I mean, everything's going to vanilla, so no. Yeah. I mean, there's none of that. But I do kind of want to see these twos and threes go out there and push some people around because they should. I mean, this team has got a lot of youth, and it's got a lot of things in the back end.
So I would say, like, I don't care about the final score. And so, and I'm not saying that the main takeaway for you will be the final score. It feels like, okay, final score may matter, but what you want to see is that there's at least a clear difference in who the better team, who the better second string is on the sometimes the better team doesn't win a game. Yeah. You know, we see that all the time. And in the fourth quarter, when all of the backups are in there, and there's an interception return for the Bears, and then they, you know, get a kickoff return, and it's 14 points, and they win by one. It's like, I don't care in the fourth quarter. But the feeling I get is the no matter the win or loss of the final score, it's a subjective. What do you feel like you're seeing with the backups against the Bears backups when the Chiefs, who are trying to get to a Super Bowl, are going to be relying on a number of guys that might be playing with the second string tomorrow afternoon that need to be better than a team in disarray's backups with a new coaching staff and new front office?
Yeah, I mean, I need to see the number twos on this team go out and execute and look a lot better than what's on the other side tomorrow, because there should be quite a big disparity in that. So I need to see that. And then obviously it's the rookies. I mean, there's going to be so many that are playing some integral roles. And honestly, I mean, you know, this is a big moment. I mean, we've seen it before, even with draft picks. You know, certainly it's been true with undrafted guys and even, you know, free agents that you brought in. One bad game can, you know, send you to the back of the line yeah. and really affect your career for a while. So you want to see Isaiah Pacheco. You want to see Sky Moore. Trent McDuffie, you want them to go out there and have some good days, and you know, and you don't want, especially since you know those are three guys that are probably going to be getting some special teams work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see them, you know, bobbling a kick. Don't want that.
Also, got to mention, you don't want to see them get hurt.
Don't want to see him, and that Soldier Field turf, by the way, is a whole conversation.
Now that
actually is a different part of the root against injuries.
You're
thing.
Right. Because
that might be a swamp. I am terrified.
Yeah. No, I've been questioning all week whether this game actually gets played. I mean, to the point where, you know, we've seen it before. You show up and a field's in such bad shape, and that field right now looks like it's in bad shape.
Yeah, I mean, just can they cancel the game then?
Shakira has had a residency at Soldier Field. Nobody's been talking about it. Yeah,
is it those damned soccer players that are playing there at Soldier Field, man?
And when Cairo Santos, who's like one of the nicest guys in the world and a good team guy, is out there trashing your field. That says a lot to me.
Well, Cairo Santos is a soccer player, you know, and a kicker. You think Carl Peterson is like, see, that's what happens when you got soccer players playing on your field. Bears, you take those soccer players away, that field, immaculate. Just like he talked about when Northwest and Mo West played one of the first games that they played in the game at Arrowhead, when the field was all messed up and everything, and Carl Peterson said, this will be maybe the nicest field either of these teams has ever played on. And my response was, what a Richard thing to say, because they're Division II, therefore they also have crappy fields. By the way, there's a lot of field turf in Division II as well, and the middle of your field was dirt, down the middle between the hash marks when they were playing. So I get it, but that was such a dismissive thing to say at the time. And then also it's the, you know, soccer players and things like that. But it is a good point when we say, like, the injuries, we know that. It might be to a larger degree in this one because of the concerns about a field, which, by the way, the Bears are going to have to play all of their games, home games and things like on that field, whereas the Chiefs go there one time. But I can't imagine if it's not playable, that the NFL would do. Remember, was it the Hall of Fame game that got canceled a few years ago? Mm-hmm. Because
these are like paint. Like paint hardening, I think, right?
Yeah, like not playable. There was like a where the sod has sort of not come together in a couple of spots, and there was like, and they're like, we're not playing on this, and the league was like, yeah, you're not, so cancel the game. You know, it's just, for the safety of the. I don't think it'd be that, because I don't think Soldier Field would be that, since it's supposed to be a stadium that's going to host what, two, or no, one. So the nine. Regular season and one preseason.
Won't be hosting a World Cup, though.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Right.
Hey,
that's
Jason,
where I was
going. I got some bad news for you. They didn't get that World Cup up in Chicago.
Let's throw some shade at Soldier Field.
Well, thankfully they didn't, because those damned soccer players would ruin that field.
Exactly.
That would be the issue. So yeah, the Soldier Field and that stuff is certainly something to worry about there with the team tomorrow. So we had a sports category in Sports or Leisure yesterday about camp darlings, you know, training camp darlings. Pacheco will be an answer to one of those in a couple of years in that category. You've been out at every single practice. You've watched every single second of the Chiefs in training
camp.
Paid
attention, many of them.
you've seen at least four plays. While you've been doing that and conversing with the other media members, you know, playing some grab ass, just shooting the breeze with you guys. Are you contributing to the Pacheco hype? Are you dialing it back? Are you sort of right there in the middle with everybody of like, yeah, he looks good, but, you know, he's not, you know, Barry Sanders, right? Like, so where are you? I'll just ask that. Where are you with the Pacheco hype that seems to be, boy, that train is just steaming down the track right now?
I am probably, I want to say, I probably put myself in the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not leading the pack. I'm certainly not the naysayer in the backside, but I feel like I'm calling an election here. I still need to see more. I mean,
what percentage of the precincts have reported?
What percentage has reported?
35%?
We haven't even played 2%? A preseason game, so
the polls
just
closed. The polls have just closed.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, the polls close at 7. It's 7:05, and you know, okay, the exit polls are looking really strong.
Also,
that's good, because you can call that Patrick Mahomes will be the starting quarterback immediately, because he's the incumbent. There is no, you know,
exactly.
As soon as
there's nobody
closed,
running against him.
Exactly,
no, exactly,
exactly.
It's Indiana for the presidential election for the Republican. Here's our coverage nationally of the election. We can now call Indiana for insert Republican president here, you know, because it's just simply what's going to happen. Patrick Mahomes is going to be the quarterback. Although, while the polls just closed and it's 7:05, if you're in line, stay in line, you can still vote. So if you just want people to know.
If Chad Henne really balls out in the preseason,
there will be a controversy. I mean,
Indiana was a weird state for you to pick.
Isaiah Pacheco.
They're always the first one. You didn't know this?
No, but like it went. I'm now looking at Indiana's presidential voting history. No one needs to know any of this. That's okay.
No, let's just move on.
No, but it's in like the Eastern time zone, and like the polls close at 6 for some reason, I think. And yeah, it's
and so
it's
always like here's our coverage at 6 o'clock, and it's 6:02.
I can't remember whether they're on daylight savings time or not. I mean, they don't know how to tell time there.
They are
a bunch of Hoosiers.
They are now with everybody else. Okay, because it used to be regular time and then Indiana time.
And
but now they have switched with everybody else that they are on daylight savings and all of that stuff.
And now I've ensured that, you know, like, what was it last week when you got all the complimentary texts from Maryland? Now you're going to get all the people that say, why do you have this guy on insulting Hoosiers?
Yeah, mainly Dan Dockich.
There you go.
But please continue.
That's why. Okay. But I knew there was a logic to it.
Although this does remind me, because last night, once again, great night and everything, Nancy didn't want to go. So I brought my friend Steven, best bud, my brother from another mother, because he loves all this stuff.
I thought you guys were related.
No, well, we feel like it.
Do you ever get that though? Like, you guys look similar enough to like they could be related.
You know, nobody has.
Okay,
but I was moving kind of
quick, and I don't feel like I ever like got a real formal intro, because I've, you know, had the headset on.
You were in a mode last night, man.
I was. We were locked in. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. I just thought that maybe it
prompted Stephen, because we were talking about Trent Green, because Trent Green's there and everything. And why didn't Bob Stoll recruit Trent Green? Yeah. And the answer was, why do that when you have Jeff Handy?
That's true.
I mean,
yeah,
that's our answer right there.
You're in the middle of Pacheco?
I'm in the middle of it because...
I think the last time, like last couple of years, I think the Hoosiers went to a bowl game. But before that, I think the last time they went to a bowl game was Trent Green.
Probably was
like
Trent
legit,
Green.
Legit, like Trent yeah. Green was like the last time the Hoosiers went. Anyway, go ahead, Pacheco, in the middle.
I mean, one of my rules of training camp has been never get impressed by wide receivers in training camp because you can't hit them, you can't do anything. I mean, you don't be impressed by guys in shorts. I am now going to have to add a second rule, which is don't fall in love with running backs during training camp for the same reason. I mean, you can't hit him. Hasn't been hit.
Yeah.
You know, and even the blocking. I mean, he's running through holes and making quads. Well, they can't be knocking guys around. They're only playing about, they're probably not even playing 75%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's something there because the book on this guy was, hey, he's fast, but, you know, he kind of runs towards contact, doesn't have maybe a first cut, doesn't do a lot of these things, maybe isn't the most agile guy out there. And I've seen no evidence to back up that scouting report because this guy looks like a strong north-south runner who hits holes hard, and he's got some juke in him. He's got some dance. I mean, I'm not ready to buy into this. He's Kareem Hunt.
You aren't yet?
You know, line of thinking quite yet because I need to see it, and Kareem Hunt was a freak. But there's something there.
What about are you willing to buy into him like you know, people were pumped about Darwin Thompson, the next Kareem Hunt, Darwin Thompson, in preseason?
From what I've seen right now, I would say I've seen more from Pacheco than I ever saw from Darwin Thompson.
But Darwin Thompson was a whew. Yeah. I'm liking what I'm seeing from this guy. Is did they find Kareem Hunt, the next Kareem Hunt and Darwin Thompson? Kind of liking this Brian Shea guy. Jesse Haynes? Who's on board with Jesse Haynes? All right, we'll take a timeout. We will get Matt Derrick's thoughts on how much he believes Andy Reid, who said the quarterbacks are all going to get one quarter, including Patrick Mahomes, will get a quarter. We'll see how much he buys into that and then go through and look at his initial 53-man roster projection for the Chiefs that he put out last week. More Zone rolling along next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That's a clown take, bro.
On Sports Radio 810.
Matt Derrick, our guest here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the Chiefs Digest. All right, Matt, Andy Reid said the quarterbacks will get a quarter. And I wrote down immediately as he said that, not buying it. So here's the way it plays out if Patrick Mahomes gets the entire first quarter. Chiefs win the toss and defer. Bears have an 8-minute drive and score. Chiefs get the ball. They have a drive. Bears get it back. Their drive goes into the second quarter. Patrick Mahomes would have played the entire first quarter. That's the scenario in my mind where he plays the entire first quarter. Does he play more than one series? Even if it's three and out, does he play more than one series?
I think your scenario is the most likely
of him playing
scenario.
More than one.
And Mahomes made it pretty clear yesterday. I mean, his only goal is to kind of get pushed around a little bit and then get out of there. So, and Reid does, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, Reid does like the idea of, you know, giving the quarters, that first quarter to the ones, having Henny come in to play a series as well, get them some experience together. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. And honestly, I mean, the only way I could see that Mahomes gets a second series is that, yeah, if it is a three and out, they just want to go out and get a few more snaps. But remember, I think he played 4 snaps in the first preseason game last year.
Yep.
And sure, the caveat is, hey, he had a toe injury, but by training camp, he was still a full go. So I think that's a pretty good scenario.
And it, and
we'll
it wasn't,
see what happens. But
it wasn't a sorry. It wasn't a particularly crisp 4 plays either.
No.
Because, I mean, they got the first down, and then it was and then it dropped pass on third down. You would think like
wasn't 4 plays and a score.
Yeah. Okay, they dropped the pass on. Let's get him back out there. Okay, let's get a good feeling here coming up. No, it was like, sorry, you're out. But the starters didn't come out, just Mahomes.
Yeah.
So the starters did play the first quarter, just exchanged Chad Henne with Patrick Mahomes. So Tyreek and Travis and the offensive line, they were all out there with Chad Henne. I think that'll be the same thing tomorrow. That maybe not Kelsey, But I certainly think Juju and MVS and Sky Moore, those guys will be out there the entire first quarter, whoever is at quarterback, because they're still learning the playbook. They're still doing those things. This is the first time that they'll have an opportunity with the playbook, with not necessarily a regular season game plan and the scripted plays or anything like that, but it is against a defense that's going to be adjusting on the fly, and it's not the same guys that they've been watching in Spags defense and things like that. So I would like to see them play the first quarter with Mahomes and Chad Henne.
And I think that's the most likely scenario. And Henne then probably plays a full quarter. Maybe he, like last year, they mm-hmm. pull him out midway through the second. Mm-hmm. Bushell comes in. Maybe Bushell plays the third quarter, and then fourth quarter goes Dustin Crum. Mm-hmm. That seems pretty likely. I'm interested to see just, you know, with the rookies and the second team. I mean, because you talk about four quarterbacks, you know, you're kind of talking about four teams, but you don't have four teams. You got three teams, essentially. And even the threes still have a little bit of mix of twos and threes. So, mm-hmm. hey, yeah, your threes are going to play most of the second half, I would think. It's how many of your twos and your rookies go into the second half. Hey, your top guys, Trent McDuffie's probably out by then, especially since he's a starter. He's probably out in the first quarter. But you should, I mean, I think you get a decent look at some of these guys, and I think you want to. I mean, like I said, that second team's going to be the one to watch, I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan, because there's probably going to be nine draft picks on that second team. And that second quarter, you're going to get a look at the future.
So at Chiefs Digest, you've got your rosterology that's there, and released it last Friday. And so an opportunity to go through and look at it and things like that. And the way that you have structured it is you've put the position group, players, quote, on the roster, players that are then in the mix, and then the camp competition type deal with those. Question. You have, so when you list the number with the roster, that's your projection as to how many of what those players are going to be, or your projection of, like, realistically, those are the guys in the mix? Because I ask that because when you add up the numbers in the parentheses next to the position, you get 26 on offense and 24 on defense, and typically it's 25 and 25. That doesn't mean it has to be 25 and 25, because you've got six wide receivers and four running backs plus a fullback, and you've got one less cornerback than they had typically kept in the past. Is that what you're predicting, that it might be that way, or is that just sort of like, here's where a lot of these camp battles are, and how you sort of structured that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because it's where the roster is right now. Okay. But that's not necessarily where it will end. I mean, you say six route wide receivers. I think I've been on the most likely keeping six wide receiver train for a while now, and my odds of them keeping six receivers, honestly, is less now than it was. I mean, that's not necessarily a slam dunk. I'm not real happy with this roster, especially because they've made a couple of moves since then, of keeping nine defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs have done that before. They would prefer to keep 10.
Yeah.
But at the time making this roster, I just didn't see from what we saw at training camp that they were preparing for that. I mean, that there was kind of a gap there between the top nine and then who would be the 10th guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, bringing in a Danny Shelton changes that. So, you know, hey, the next roster will probably have 10 defensive linemen on it. So a few things are going to change. I mean, definitely there's some camp battles and some, you know, position groups to watch. I mean, you'll probably keep 10 defensive backs, but is it going to be six corners and four safeties or five and five?
Yeah. It's been six and four.
With defensive line. I mean, is it going to be six defensive ends mm-hmm. and four tackles or five and five? Yeah. I mean,
typically it's been six and four. But you never know.
You never know.
With this. Because, I mean, if you're looking at it and saying, okay, is Malik Herring the sixth defensive end, or is it better to keep Turk, Nnadi, Colin Saunders?
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones would be somebody I would definitely keep on the team. And then, you know.
You were just thinking of him as a defensive end.
Yes.
His natural position.
And then who's the player they just signed? The defensive tackle they just signed.
Danny Shelton.
Or Shelton, sorry.
Yeah, Danny Shelton. That would be five.
Yeah.
So do they go that route and say, well, is Malik Herring going to be kept as a defensive end, or is it better to keep the five defensive tackles? Because, oh, by the way, you're keeping five defensive tackles. One of those guys is often injured in Colin Saunders. Or you'd rather have Malik Herring. You like Danny Shelton. Does that then equal the end of Colin Saunders' time in Kansas City? Because can you rely on him if you cut Shelton or Stallworth, who's unfortunately had the injury? If you cut one of those guys or both of those guys and keep Colin Saunders, you might be in the market for defensive tackle soon. if Colin Saunders does what unfortunately has been predominantly his career, and that is not being able to stay healthy.
Yeah, and one of the toughest positions really to judge is going to be the defensive backs, and particularly corners.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look, watching camp so far, I think you're going to get a little bit of a misleading view about where that race stands because Rashad Fenton hasn't been practicing. When Rashad ramps back up, it's going to be pretty clear Chiefs have three top corners. Yeah. It's going to be Snead, McDuffie, and Fenton. Okay, there's three right now. Well, Watson and Williams have both been good. I mean, you can tell that, hey, there's a gap there. Those are both still young guys, lot to prove. Okay, now you're to five. All right. Nazi Johnson, seventh round picks, looked really good too. I mean, he's been running with the twos all along and been pretty solid. There's six. Haven't even talked about Lonnie Johnson yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I mean,
Did you mention Chris LeMond?
Haven't mentioned him or DiCaprio. Yeah.
Who's been running with the second team at times.
And LeMond is the guy that Dave Tobe would go through a wall to keep. So
maybe even go through Alvin Kamara to keep.
Allegedly. I'd rather go through a wall.
Yeah, but. Me too. I had a question on the Tobe front because we talked about this some this week.
I was going to bring that up too. So go ahead.
I'm looking at the. I'm just trying to think just 1% faster and try to keep us on our toes.
All good.
I was looking at the snap counts on the special teams from last year. Dorian O'Daniel first, Marcus Kemp second, Armani Watts third, Noah Gray fourth, Ben Neiman fifth, Chris LeMond sixth, and then you have Burton and then kickers Mike Hughes. Like, there are a ton of special team snaps that are no longer on this team. And we always have the conversation of how much input does Dave Tobe have, or even I don't know how that system works. I don't know if Andy Reid says, hey, here's our last two receivers, you break the tie. Or if Tobe says, I need this guy or we're going to give up 10 return touchdowns this season. But with all of those snaps missing, I'm curious what you think of what the strategy is going to be to try to replace those as seamlessly as possible. And the other thing is, how flexible are those positions? Like, does Dorian O'Daniel need to be replaced by another linebacker? Does Marcus Kemp need to be replaced by another receiver, typically with how those skill sets get used?
I mean, to a degree, yeah. I mean, a lot of those times it does translate to similar positions because, like Dorian O'Daniel, for instance. I mean, you look at the things that they were asking him to do. It's a lot of tackling. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's chasing kicks down. It's playing on the interior. Maybe there's a little bit of blocking on kick teams, on the punt teams. So, yeah, I mean, that's naturally translates. And honestly, Jermaine Carter was signed to replace Dorian O'Daniel. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, hey, you know what? Maybe this is a guy that upgrades as well and can be a backup linebacker on defense too, which obviously O'Daniel didn't do a lot. Mm-hmm. Armani Watts was replaced by Deion Bush with the full intention that, hey, this is another veteran special teams player. And, you know, and some of it was also, I mean, you talked about 1% better. I mean, in some of these cases, you're replacing experienced special teamers like O'Daniel and Watts with guys who are even more experienced.
Yeah.
And maybe graded out better. So, I mean, they were definitely trying to upgrade that. And with losing a lot of those snaps, they were trying to bring in some guys that had those skills. Justin Watson, another great example. Mm-hmm. You don't have Marcus Kemp, but you sign a Justin Watson who was basically that guy in Tampa and has been really, I mean, watching the special teams periods, I mean, the guy's really good. I mean, you see why he's a good gunner, all of these things, and that just helps out that bid for the fifth, sixth wide receiver spot.
On the other side of the break, I want to talk a little bit more about that with the fifth, sixth wide receiver. It's what Josh and I got into a conversation yesterday. I want to pick Matt Derrick's brain on that. We'll take a timeout, come back, wrap up this hour with Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest. More right after this.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Byron Pringle was born before you were.
Yeah.
And Byron Pringle was born when I was a junior in college. I just realized I could be your father. I mean, my social life would have had to have gone much, much better.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Great line. Well done, Matt. Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, hanging out with us. Okay, let's get right into it. Something Josh and I talked about yesterday. So we've discussed the wide receivers. Is it going to be five? Is it going to be six? Justin Watson, is he on the team? Because could he be the next Marcus Kemp and all of that stuff? My view is I would rather side on the picking a wide receiver that's the best wide receiver rather than, okay, this guy is listed as a wide receiver, but he's a special teamer. Because I believe the 11 on offense and 11 on defense are the ones that are going to decide how good this Chiefs team is ultimately going to be. And if I'm bringing a keeping a wide receiver who I think, well, when we put him in, he may not be all that good of a wide receiver, it kind of flies in the face of this wide receiver group is going to be as good or better because it's going to be the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's going to be collective. And it's hard to say the collective when one or two of those guys are just simply there to run down the field and cover kicks as opposed to get out in a route. We had this conversation, Matt, about that yesterday and saying, well, I mean, if Dave Tobe is as good as he is and is the best, couldn't he figure out how to put guys out there that maybe aren't specific special teamers so that you can take advantage of having six actual real wide receivers on your team if you're going to keep six?
See, to me, there's two considerations. One is, you know, and let's just look at Kemp's numbers last year. Mm-hmm. Just pulling them up. 315 special team snaps and 75 offensive snaps. So the vast majority of the work is going to be on special teams.
Yep.
So do you want the player then to be better equipped to play special teams because the majority of what they're going to do, or do you want to focus on the 75 snaps? Which then again, I mean, I didn't even look at my targets yet. It wasn't much. It was probably in single digits.
I can give you the Kemp number here real quick. 315 special team snaps, 75 offensive snaps. Like you said, the 75.
And five targets.
Where you have guys like Michael Burton, who's on the roster, 207 to 94.
But quick aside, though, he was the number six wide receiver as opposed to they would be looking at the number five wide receiver as a special teamer specific.
Byron Pringle was 134 on special teams, 583 on the offensive side. Total snaps.
Okay.
So that's your number five, right?
That would be number four.
That was number four.
Five is Josh Gordon, and then who didn't play special teams at all.
Yeah, fair.
And then
right.
Six would be Marcus Kemp. So they went sort of four and six.
Pringle was the second highest snapping wide receiver
probably,
on special teams.
Probably better to think of it as flipping five and six.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because,
yeah,
since Gordon didn't play any special teams and still wouldn't play any special teams.
Right. Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Because there's going to, for that reason, I mean, there's going to be some guys that you don't put on special teams because either one, you know, their skill set doesn't fit it.
But if they had
body type, whatever it may be.
They had six who was almost exclusive a special teamer. Yeah. If they have five, how could that be almost an exclusive special teamer?
Well, it is still going to be. I mean, 80% of the bulk. But, yeah. I mean, take a look at that in the Marcus Kemp standpoint. He had five targets last year. He made more than five plays on special teams. I mean, mm-hmm. if anything, I mean, heck, he's probably had five key plays as a gunner alone.
Well, and if they had a better wide receiver, do they beat the Chargers? Because that better wide receiver might have caught the football.
If Marcus Kemp gets you 30 yards of field position on a special teams play.
One 30-yard special teams play, not as important as catching the football and being able to run for a touchdown, instead it being a turnover.
If he pins you at the 2-yard line,
I would hope my 11 players out there can help win the game as opposed to dropping the football.
Why are we talking about wide receiver six?